Claim by Jerrakeen, read by Petica. This is a work of fanfiction. Adam hears the door unlock and his stomach clenches nervously. Chris is early, but Adam should have expected that. They've been talking every single night since the incident. And Adam knows how much Chris needed to get out of that house. Getting out of the house has been their code for getting away from Katie. Adam had been doing his best to be the friend Chris desperately needs, planning, organizing, offering advice, and being there every time Chris calls. But now that they're about to meet face to face, he finds that, just for one moment, he has to let his guard down and let himself panic, or he's going to explode. He braces his hands on the kitchen counter and lets himself hyperventilate a little. Get it out of his system before Chris's footsteps come closer. He's done surprisingly quickly. He takes one last deep breath and stands back up, ready to report for duty. But when he listens closely, there are no footsteps. Chris? He finds Chris still standing in the hall. His bag is on the floor next to his feet, and he's facing the wall, forehead resting against it. He's breathing hard, like he ran all the way or something. Chris? Are you okay? Don't, Chris says, voice hoarse. Don't come any closer. Adam freezes. He's seen Chris angry, disappointed, sad, but he's never heard that tone of voice from him before. It's almost scary. Chris had said Katie was scared of him now, but Adam hadn't really believed it. Now he gets it. There's something deeper in Chris's voice, something wilder, feral. But it's still Chris, and Adam refuses to be afraid. Look at me, he says. Tell me what's wrong. It takes Chris a moment to turn. He looks like he's fighting with himself, going against his instincts. Adam hopes the instincts aren't telling him to eat his best friend. But even so, he would trust Chris. He knows Chris would always protect him, even from himself. Come on, Adam says, watching him turn around, bit by bit, hands fisted by his side and his chest rising and falling with every breath. Let me help. Chris lets out a low chuckle. You can't help with this one. Adam doesn't know what's going on, but he's been helping Chris fight the depression, the fear, the self-hatred, and every other difficulty this condition has brought into his life. There's no way in hell he's going to give up now. Try me. Chris looks up at him through his lashes. And Adam is suddenly struck with how much things have changed in just a matter of months. Chris used to look innocent when he did that. Bashful. Not vicious. I don't think I can stay with you, he says, biting off each word. What? Why? Chris's nostrils flare and he shuts his eyes. We have a problem. What do you mean I smell right? Adam asks, feeling stupid. Chris's lips twitch, almost as if he's holding back a sneer. I mean, you smell right, in the way that Katie didn't. Oh, Adam says, dumbfounded. Is that like... He shakes his head. He has so many questions. So many stupid questions. Are you sure? Chris chuckles humorlessly. Oh yeah, he says. I'm pretty sure. But I'm the wrong gender? Chris chuckles again and lets one of his lips curl up. The expression looks strange on his face. It's not like Chris never smirks. He does. But the look in his eyes is brand new. Adam would have remembered if Chris ever looked at him that way. Like he wants to eat Adam. And not in a literal sense. "Trust me," Chris says, voice low and scratchy. "There's nothing wrong about you." "Oh." "You should go," Chris tells him after a moment's silence. He looks determined, nodding firmly, standing his ground. "Use the fire escape and just go." "What? Are you crazy? I'm not running away." "Adam," Chris says, warning. "I'm not kidding. You have to go. Now, I would leave, but..." He makes a face, half apologetic, half pained. "I don't think I can." This is madness. This is just sheer madness. Adam raises his hands up and takes a cautious step towards Chris. "You know I'm not leaving you, so you might as well stop wasting your time." Chris swears under his breath. "Now," Adam says, "tell me how this works." Chris kicks the wall. "I don't know how it works," he yells. "I don't fucking know, okay?" Adam licks his lips, breathes deep, and takes another step. "All I know is that I can't. It's..." He looks up at Adam, desperate. "It's inside me, and I can tell. I don't..." He shakes his head, as if to clear his mind. "I don't even know what it is. I can tell, Adam. This is crazy." Chris has beautiful eyes. Adam has always thought so. He loves it when they open wide with wonder and surprise, when they shine with happiness and pride, twinkle with mischief. Seeing them painted a darker shade with confusion and pain is so surreal. Adam should have known it was worse than Chris was letting on. This has to be killing Chris, to be wound so tight all the time, trying to control a part of himself that's struggling to come out. It is unnatural, and Adam doubts Chris can keep doing it for long. Chris doesn't do conflict, not with other people, and certainly not within himself. There has to be a way to live with this, one that doesn't mean sacrificing everything that makes Chris, Chris. Maybe if you stop keeping it separate, you'd be able to understand better. Chris stares at him, looking puzzled. "You can feel it inside you?" Adam prompts. "Yes." "But you're not letting it become a part of you." Chris shakes his head. "No, I can't. What if you don't understand?" Adam takes another step. He's almost close enough to touch now. He can smell Chris's sweat. "What?" he asks softly. "You want me to let myself become a monster?" Adam shakes his head. "You could never." "This isn't some embrace your inner self thing. This is unnatural. It's dangerous." Adam grabs Chris's wrist. He pries open Chris's fist and laces their fingers together. He doesn't know if it works on Chris, but it at least makes Adam feel better. "When people say that about me, you tell them to go fuck themselves." "That's not the same thing." "It kinda is." Adam takes one step and leans his forehead against Chris's. Chris shivers and squeezes Adam's fingers hard enough to hurt. "I'm here, whatever happens." Chris whimpers. "Stop fighting it. It's not full moon. You won't hurt anyone. Just close your eyes and let yourself really feel it." Chris releases a shaky breath. "And tell me," Adam says. Looking for all the world like he's about to be hanged, Chris gives Adam a tentative nod and closes his eyes. There is no clock in the house, but Adam could swear he hears ticking. Seconds pass by, impossibly slow. Tick, tock. Adam focuses on Chris's breathing, in and out, carefully regulated, and prays quietly. He's going to kick his own ass if his brilliant idea makes things worse. It feels like all muscles in Chris's body are tightly clenched. So with nothing else to do, Adam puts his hands to good use. He lets his thumb brush back and forth on Chris's hand and hugs him with one arm, his hand running the length of Chris's back. It takes a while, but Chris finally relaxes. He slumps forward and his head falls on Adam's shoulder. It's a familiar embrace. Adam pulls him closer for a more comfortable fit, and it almost feels like they went back in time a couple of years. Holding Chris in his arms has never been awkward. From day one, it felt natural and easy and right. And it's no different this time. Adam's body wants to start swaying and dance with Chris, to some secret music only the two of them can hear. But before his subconscious has a chance to take over, Chris's breathing begins to quicken, his chest rising and falling rapidly against Adam's. "Chris?" Adam says tentatively. He doesn't want to disturb whatever's going on inside Chris, but he feels useless, and to be completely honest, he's scared shitless. Chris lets out a moan, and it's not a nice one either. He turns his face into Adam's neck, hiding it there. Adam panics. "Chris, are you?"
"I'm fine."
"Okay," Adam says, taking deep, calming breaths. "Talk to me. Tell me."
I feel unsettled.
Adam runs a hand through the back of Chris's hair. "I know, but that's normal, isn't it? Considering everything that's changing?
I'm not sure. It could be, but it's like this niggling feeling, a constant annoyance under my skin."
"Okay," Adam says. "They can deal with annoyance. Annoyance is nothing." "What else?"
Katie's house."
Chris's voice breaks. Adam drops a soft kiss on his temple.
"It felt completely wrong. It felt not like enemy, nothing dangerous, but it felt alien, not compatible. And Katie, she smelled
wrong," Adam says for him. He can imagine just how much Chris hates saying that.
"Yeah," Chris says, sounding relieved. "Like she didn't belong to me. I kept looking at our rings. They didn't mean anything. They were just jewelry. And Katie wasn't mine."
He pulls away just enough to look Adam in the eye. "And more importantly, I wasn't hers. I can't be. She's not right." "What could anyone say to that?" Adam wonders. "Okay," he says. "It'll be okay." Chris shakes his head no.
"This place," he says. "This place feels incomplete. Like it needs something. Like maybe it could be home. Like I could... Adam, I..."
"Shh," Adam says, rocking him a little. "Calm down." Chris shivers and tries to get closer, even though there's no room.
"I am calm," Chris says,
though the tremble in his arms betray him.
"This is the calmest I've been in weeks. Trust me. I feel safe right now. I feel much better."
"Okay," Adam says, "then we'll stay here. like this. Chris laughs. It's a weak laugh, but it's still better than nothing.
For how long? He asks. I can't stay with you. This won't work.
Why not? Chris is a werewolf, and Adam is a fucking rock star who would turn the world upside down to make him happy. There is nothing they can't do.
Because, Chris drawls.
He sounds annoyed, and that, for some reason, makes Adam smile.
Because what's calming me down is this. The scent. The two of us together. And that is not my body's way of telling me we'd make great roommates.
Adam's mind is busy putting together scenarios of how they can handle this. But as always, Chris picks the worst one and runs with it.
This is good, he says. I think this is helping. I'm feeling much better. I think it'll be okay to leave in a bit. I'll get a hotel room, and then we can talk this out on the phone. It's the scent that's getting...
Oh, shut up, Adam interrupts him. You're not going anywhere. Chris takes a step back and gives Adam an exasperated look. Adam holds his wrist just in case.
You're not getting this. My body thinks you're my mate.
Adam actually did get that part. He's just not clear on the details. And what does that mean exactly? What do you need from me? Chris's nostrils start flaring again, and he flushes a pretty pink color all the way down his chest. Adam wonders vaguely if he'll come out and say it. If it's just sex, Adam is pretty sure they can work that out. But if Chris can't even say it, then they have bigger problems.
I need you to stop being difficult and help me.
Adam rolls his eyes. Of course Chris won't just say it.
Is it just sex? Adam asks.
Do you think you'll be able to go back to your life if we have sex? Chris looks shocked, and it takes him a moment to start breathing again.
What?
I know you don't like this, and I'm sorry, but if it's going to help you function, go back to work, go back home, then we can...
Chris snarls.
Adam stops mid-sentence, squinting at the strange expression on his face.
I'm not sure, but...
Chris pauses to chuckle.
It's a guess, because I don't have a manual handy, but I don't believe anyone's going anywhere if we have sex.
Adam licks his lips nervously. Does that mean werewolves eat their mates after sex or something? Chris rolls his eyes.
Probably would have been easier if that were the case.
Thanks, Adam says dryly.
It's not like getting a fix, Chris says.
He sounds impatient, snappish. All the calming hugging for nothing, Adam thinks.
It's more like...
Like?
You shook hands with someone today, Chris says, out of nowhere.
Adam blinks.
Yeah? I can tell that because I can smell him on you. And a part of me wants to track that scent and break that guy's arm so he wouldn't be able to shake your hand again.
Adam swallows hard and makes himself nod once.
Oh. Yeah, Chris says. Oh.
Of all the places to have this conversation, Chris had to choose the hallway. There's nowhere to sit. So Adam leans against the wall and considers their options. Of which there are none, really.
Will it make you happy?
He finds himself asking. He probably shouldn't, because if Chris says no, then it'll be a million times more painful to give in for both of them. But he's not ready to give up. He thinks he may never be. Chris stares at him without blinking. Adam is starting to think he's not going to answer when he says,
"That's not the point."
Then, what is the point?
The point is, this is my problem, not yours, and I'm not going to drag you into it.
And that's when Adam decides that maybe he should just tie Chris up instead of talking in circles with him. He stands up straight and steps into Chris's personal space, crowding him against the wall. "You don't get to tell me what to do," he says. Chris's hands ball into tight fists. Adam wonders if he's about to get punched. Not that that's ever been reason enough to deter him. "You just tell me what you need, and I'll make up my own mind, thanks." "I won't let you sacrifice." "You think it would be a sacrifice?" Adam wants to laugh, because isn't Chris supposed to smell this stuff now? He's a werewolf, and somehow still clueless? Chris shakes his head. "This isn't an experiment, Adam. This isn't just another relationship. I don't think breaking up will be an option." Adam never let himself contemplate how it would feel to kiss Chris. It felt too much of a betrayal, like he'd be wishing the end of Chris's marriage. And Adam would never, ever do that. But the moment their lips meet, too uncoordinated for a decent kiss, Adam feels like they've done that before. Chris's lips feel familiar against his, perfectly soft and yielding. And Adam knows how his mouth would taste before Chris opens his lips. It's disconcerting, but not in an entirely bad way. Adam feels dizzy with it. When he pulls back, Chris stays exactly where he is, against the wall, eyes shut. He doesn't even move to close his mouth. Adam can't tell which one of them is trembling harder. At least Chris has the wolf to blame for his condition. Adam has no convenient excuse. He just wanted this too much, for too long. He traces the line of Chris's jaw with a finger, contemplating the risk he's taking with this. Chris's instincts want him. The instincts Chris thinks make him a monster. Adam will do this. There is no question. But it might turn out to be far from happily ever after as he can possibly get. He hopes Chris won't hate him in the end. He's not sure if he'll ever be able to live with that. "It's not a sacrifice," Adam says. "I don't need to be a werewolf to know that you're right for me." He keeps his face neutral, like they're talking about the weather. Adam is a huge fan of sappy love declarations, but this time, the situation is just way too complicated for wine and rose petals. Chris would probably appreciate him being less romantic and more matter-of-fact for this. "Now," Adam says firmly, "tell me what you need." Chris's eyes are shut tight, but his face is turned up eagerly, his lips following Adam every time he draws back. Adam feels high. He doesn't particularly want to think. He wants to forget why they're here, why Chris is with him, and he just wants to keep kissing, stretch this torturous foreplay out for as long as he can. And he would, too, if it weren't for the sounds Chris keeps making. Needy little whimpers that Adam just can't ignore. "Tell me," Adam says, kissing down Chris's neck. Chris arches into his touch and moans. Adam can feel Chris's erection against his thigh, so he pushes harder, reaches down between them to press the heel of his hand against it. He has ways of making Chris talk. Chris shudders against him and comes. "Or that," Adam thinks. "Make him talk or come. They both work." "Oh, God," Chris whispers. Oh, God." "Shh, it's okay," Adam says. "You'll be just fine." Chris shakes his head, jerky and frantic, and looks ready to bolt. "Don't let me do this. I don't want you to have to." Chris is confused and clearly out of his mind with worry. And God only knows whatever's going on inside his body. And Adam feels like if he doesn't put a stop to this, Chris is going to give himself a heart attack. He grabs hold of Chris's arm and presses him against the wall, hard enough to hurt. Hard enough to make him realize that Adam is in charge now, and he better do as he's told.
Stop panicking for one moment and listen to me, he says. You were there. You know this. He looks into Chris's eyes, begging him to let himself see what they've trained themselves not to see all this time. We were always right together. You know that. Chris doesn't nod, but he doesn't protest either. And I loved you from day one. Chris exhales like he just got the wind knocked out of him. Adam nods. I did. I do. Even when I knew I shouldn't. Chris opens his mouth as if he means to say something, and Adam waits, but nothing comes out except more rapid breathing. I don't know how this works, he babbles, and I hope I won't make you unhappy. I never want you to be unhappy, but I'm not sacrificing anything. I've always wanted you more than I should. Chris's eyes look softer, less panicked. Adam can't exactly tell what's going on in his mind, but he put his money on something between pity and relief. I need you, Chris says in a low, serious voice. I want you. It's not a passionate declaration, more like an announcement, but Adam feels his heart trip in response anyway. He catches Chris's lips in a deep, hard, bruising kiss. And then he pulls back to ask, how? Chris tells him in excruciating detail. Adam wants to get it right so badly that for the first time in a very, very long time, he manages to be awkward during sex. Not that Chris notices. Chris is gone, melted, happily squirming between the bed and Adam, letting Adam take the lead. Adam didn't expect that. He thought Chris would be more dominant in bed, that the wolf would take over. But the wolf seems content with being petted and taken care of for now. It's turning Adam on like crazy. Adam reaches towards the bedside table to grab a condom and almost knocks over the lamp when Chris licks his nipple. Chris does it again, and then nuzzles his chest, humming into his skin. You smell like me now, he mumbles. Adam isn't surprised. There's been a lot of touching and licking and some sucking. Chris is eager to get his hands and his mouth on any and all parts of Adam's body. Okay, Adam says stupidly, fumbling with the condom wrapper. Chris frowns up at him. No, he says, taking the condom from him and throwing it away. No condom. Adam blinks. That's not safe. You're sleeping with a werewolf. That's not safe. But Chris crosses the side of his face. Adam closes his eyes and sighs. This is just so... He has no defense against this. I know you don't do that, Chris says, but you know you're clean, and you know I'm clean, and I really need you to come inside me. Adam groans and looks down at Chris. He isn't even blushing. Adam is not going to survive this, not if Chris keeps talking like that. You want me on my stomach? Chris asks. And smiles when Adam chokes on his breath. I'll take that as a yes. He turns around in Adam's arms, wiggling to get comfortable. Adam bites his lip almost hard enough to draw blood and pushes two fingers back inside Chris, making sure he won't hurt him. Chris moans and presses back. Now, please. With one last deep breath, Adam slides inside him. It doesn't take long. Chris is hot and tight, and no, Adam is not thinking about anyone's virginity, or he's going to lose his mind. And this is basically a wedding ceremony. Claiming, Chris called it. It's for life, forever. And considering the fact that Adam's been wanting this for a long, long time. So yes,
It's over faster than Adam would have liked. But that's okay, because Chris doesn't seem to mind, judging by all the moaning. And when he reaches back to pull Adam's head down towards his shoulder, Adam just gets what he wants. No need for words. He runs his tongue over the sweaty skin right in front of him, between Chris's shoulder and neck, and then closes his mouth over it and bites. Chris growls low and dangerous, like a trapped animal. And when his body arches, Adam snakes a hand between him and the bed, wrapping his fingers around Chris's erection to stroke him. "Yes," Chris moans and pushes into Adam's hand. Adam tightens his fingers and jerks him off faster, releasing his neck to lick the indentations his teeth left behind. "Again," Chris says in a hoarse voice. So Adam moves a little higher and bites again. He sucks hard. He wants to mark Chris where everyone will see. Or maybe he thinks Chris will want to be marked where everyone will see. It's hard to tell when he's pretty sure they want the same thing for similar reasons. "Yes," Chris moans again, prompting Adam to bite harder, still not drawing blood, but it's sure to leave a hell of a bruise. And with his next breath, he shudders and comes all over Adam's hand. Adam almost doesn't want to slide off of Chris, but when Chris turns around and cuddles close, he thinks maybe this is even better than being on top of him. He pushes back the sweaty hair off of Chris's forehead and rubs a finger on his slack bottom lip. "So beautiful," he says. Chris opens his eyes. Sex heightens feelings. Adam knows that. He makes it a point not to have any kind of relationship talk right after sex. But this is different. This is a whole new level. And maybe he can't smell what Chris is feeling or whatever. But he knows his own feelings. And right now, he's feeling everything. He has no idea how to even begin to try and put that into words. But he wants to try. And he wants to write songs about it. He wants to tell everyone. He wants a few bruises of his own to show off. "It will make me happy," Chris mumbles, pulling him out of his thoughts. Adam grins. "Yeah?" "Yes," Chris says, stealing a quick kiss. "And not just because the werewolf thing," Adam finishes for him. "The werewolf thing," Chris nods. "You're right," he says. "I was there. I do know. I just didn't think." "It's okay." Adam brushes a kiss on the corner of Chris's lips, then on his cheek and his eyelids. Chris sighs and lets him take his time, giving him free rein. When Adam pulls back, content to watch Chris's face and rest a little bit, Chris pulls Adam's hand up to his lips and methodically licks Adam's fingers clean of his own cum. "No resting then," Adam thinks. He's okay with that plan as well. "Your hand smells like me now," Chris says happily. Adam gives him a disbelieving look. "This is going to be a problem, isn't it?" "Not if you don't touch other people," Chris says, biting the side of Adam's hand softly. Adam raises an eyebrow at him. What's he going to tell people, that he's a germaphobe? "Or we can try and have sex every morning so you will always smell like me," Chris offers. Adam pretends to consider it. "I suppose it's worth a try." "Mm-hmm," Chris agrees, tonguing the skin between Adam's fingers. Adam settles down to watch him do that. It's sort of hypnotic and very, very sexy. Chris has licked every finger clean twice when he finally pauses and says, "I want to come on you next time. Is that okay?" Adam moans, helplessly turned on. Again, already. "Yeah," he chokes out, pulling Chris close and licking the bruise on his neck. That would be perfect. The end. Reader's notes. This was made for Fire Juggler, who's been having a bit of a hard time lately, and I just wanted to cheer her up. Thank you to Jerrykeen for giving blanket permission so that I could record this story. If you'd like to read it online, it's at jerrykeen.wreckandroll.com/fic/writerdieficlets.html/claim. If you'd like to download this podfic, it can be found at padakaproductions.com. Thanks for listening!